I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Today's scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 1, 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord's and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in Him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By Him you are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Word of God for the children of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate that reading. This text is really interesting, and I hope that you find it so, because oftentimes what happens is we go down through history and people are interpreting the Bible from the Greek and the Hebrew and even Aramaic in some parts. Oftentimes the scripture loses its meaning when they take a word and change it. That has happened more than once. But there is a word in this text that is used that is so important, and I want so badly for all of us to understand what Paul is talking about here, because in the original text, which is in Greek, the word being translated here as church is actually called out assembly or community, ecclesia. Ecclesia was around long before the church. And so when Paul spoke, and even Jesus, when they write the Gospels and talk about His words, He uses the word ecclesia, talking about a community of faith. And all too often, when we think of a church, we think of an entity like this building. But if we think in terms of a community, we think in terms of all of us. It takes more than one to make a community, doesn't it? It takes a lot of people together. So ecclesia, which is commonly translated as church, is not really that word. It is a community. For example, Acts 11:26 says, Barnabas and Saul met with the community, ecclesia, in Antioch. And in 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul says he had persecuted the community of God, ecclesia. The called out assembly, community then, is a community of believers whom God has called out of the world and into His wonderful light. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9. With this understanding, we can now read 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, as to the community of God in Corinth. It is not that the church is a bad word at all, but we need to understand the setting, because when Paul was preaching, he was going through communities and bringing people together. And those communities of faith formed churches so that all the believers, the community, could come together in one place. So often you'll hear preachers say, the church is not a building, it's the people. That's because they understand that it's talking about a community of believers. It's about people. We are a community of believers. We're not independent operators with no support system, with nothing in common. We're not lone rangers of the faith. We are community. After all, one can acquire everything in solitude except character. To develop a godly character Jesus told us, and Paul tells us here, we must be unified in community. To do so is to strengthen our faith, our character, and our support base. Remember, we have been called out into a community. In one of Aesop's fables, he describes an old man who had several sons who were always falling out with one another. Seems like they were battling all the time. He had often, but to no purpose, exhorted them to live together in harmony. One day he called them together and he gathered a bundle of sticks and tied them together and asked each son to break the bundle of sticks. They all tried. They couldn't. Finally, the father took the binding off of the sticks and handed each one of them a stick. He said, "Now break it." And each one of them did with great ease. Then the old man said, "See, my sons, the power of unity. Bound together by brotherly love," he said, "you may defy almost every mortal danger, but divided you will fall prey to your enemies. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Ecclesia bespeaks of strength. That's what it means. When we come together here, we're coming together and bringing our strength as one in unity. How many times have we found ourselves at low points in our lives only to find it's our brothers and sisters in Christ who come and support us, who help us to feel better? They provide meals for us. They love us in ways we could not imagine because we're a community. Oftentimes in this church, I have seen people hit low points in their life, and every time I have seen people there for them, to support them, to help them, to give them strength. It is no little thing Paul speaks of in this message. Paul, who suffered beatings, we were just talking about that in our Sunday school class. He's had stones thrown at him. He was imprisoned. And each time Paul took a beating, each time Paul had a rough time with people, when he preached, he went back to the community. He sought out the disciples. He sought out the people that he had formed together as a community of faith. And that's where he grew the strength to go out and do the great ministry that he did. "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him in speech and knowledge of every kind," Paul says. Paul is telling them and us, it is in this community we find grace. It is in community we are enriched in Christ in speech and knowledge of every kind. Clearly, it is not something we can achieve alone. Paul also uses another word in Greek. It's dynami, but it's spelled D-Y-N-A-M-I, the Greek word for strength. And as stated earlier, strength comes from being in community or unity, but other kinds of strength come from our faith in God. And likewise, strength comes from God's faith in us. I don't think there's any denying that God has faith in us. If he didn't, he wouldn't have sent his son. But he did send his son. I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story by Wade Martin Hughes, and it's called Pushing the Rock. It is the story of a weak, sickly man who could not afford to go to the doctor, and his condition seemed to grow worse. He lived way out in the deep woods, and outside of his home, his log cabin was a big boulder. He didn't know what he was going to do. He couldn't see a doctor. He was so sickly. And then he heard it. He heard the voice. He had a vision. One night in that vision, the Lord told him to go out there and push the huge rock all day long, day after day. As sickly as he was, as weak as he was, if the Lord said it, he did it. So he got up early the next morning and he went out and he started pushing that boulder. And he pushed it up until lunchtime, and then he got wore out, and he went in, had some lunch, then he went back, and he kept pushing until the sun went down. Day after day he pushed. Days rolled into weeks, and weeks into months, yet he still faithfully pushed the rock. After 8 months of pushing the rock, the weak, sickly man was getting tired of pushing the rock. In his tiredness, he started to doubt his dream, his vision, what he heard the Lord say. One day he began measuring from his porch to the rock to see how much he had moved the rock. After weeks of pushing, he realized he had not moved the boulder at all. As a matter of fact, the boulder was in the exact same place where it was when he started. The man was so disappointed that after 9 months, his work had accomplished nothing. He just gave up. He was tired and his dreams seemed dashed upon the rock. The man sat on his porch and cried. He had invested hundreds of hours for nothing. Nothing. It was all for nothing, he said. As the sun was setting, Jesus came and sat down next to the man as he cried. Jesus said, "Son, why are you crying?" The man replied, "Lord, you know how sick and weak I am. And this dumb dream gave me false hope, and I have pushed with all that was within me for over 9 months, and that dumb rock is right where it was when I started." Frustration had set in. But Jesus smiled and said to him, "I never told you to move the rock. I told you to push the rock." The man replied, "Yes, sir, that was the vision." Jesus told the man to step in front of a mirror and look at himself. The man stepped in front of the mirror and saw himself. And what do you think he saw? He was amazed as he saw himself as a strong, muscular man. He remembered how he had not been coughing at night. He started thinking of how well he felt and the strength he had built by pushing the rock. Then the man realized, as many of us should, the plan of God was not for the rock, but for the man. He didn't want the rock moved. He wanted the rock pushed. The storm, the trials, the heartaches, the disappointments are all part of the process. Remember, don't start measuring your success. Trust that God will take the process and build you up. God is stretching you. God is growing you. And so what do you think happens? Paul says, as he stretches and grows you, have that support system, have that community. Back when I played ice hockey and football and ran track, which wasn't real smart, I found out. I remember times when we would work out and I was so sore, I couldn't stand it. Unlike today, back in the day, maybe some of you will remember this, we didn't do anything in the summer. There wasn't any football or any practice. So 3 months off, we'd go back and we'd go in there and start working out. Get back on the weights, get back to running. The worst for me was running the mile relay. I'll say this, I was fast. And I took off. And after I ran that leg of the mile relay, I wanted to just collapse and fall on the ground. I'd run so hard, my heart was beating so fast. And I would stand there with my hands on my knees, gasping for air. And the coach would come by and he would say, "Don't stand still, move." And I thought, that's what I just did. I mean, honestly, I just wanted to fall on the ground and relax. But I knew the coach was right. So I started walking. On the rare occasions that I didn't, I found that I got leg cramps and even stomach cramps. All of my coaches gave the same advice, work through it. Don't give in to the pain. Don't give in to the tiredness. It is through our faith community, our cohesive strength, we are able to work through devastating experiences in life. It is our faith community that weeps with us, then nurtures us to soothe life's stings. Paul says, "Just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." He will also strengthen you to the end, so you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship community of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are encouraging words. You might, if you haven't studied Puritans, the Puritans viewed the family as a little community. Excuse me. The home was to be a place where spiritual and moral development was nurtured. A smaller culture that impacted the larger culture. What if that were the case today? What if in the home it was community, and in the home people learned how to treat other people? And then when they get out into the larger world, everybody is being kind, everybody is being helpful. A man named Edward Perry wrote an article entitled, "Where Are the People?" It is a summary of his findings on why churches lose or gain members. He concluded, "The key is how people do or do not nurture and support each other in the local congregation, the community of faith." That's the key. He says, "We discovered there were no program gimmicks, personality gimmicks, or outreach gimmicks identifiable in any congregation that are successful in attracting significant numbers of persons from traditionally non-mainstream sources or in retaining the faithfulness of their members to a more significant degree than most of our congregations." Did you hear that? No program gimmicks, personality gimmicks, or outreach gimmicks that are successful in attracting new members like being good at nurturing and supporting each other. Now that is interesting, is it not? Paul says, "I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus." Excuse me. "And let us add to that, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We talked about spiritual gifts last week. We heard that last Sunday. So let me add some spiritual gifts to our list. You might want to add them to yours. Spiritual gift, community of faith. Spiritual gift, strength from Christ. Spiritual gift, perseverance. And fourth, spiritual gift, nurturing. Nurturing others, nurturing each other. For ourselves, the first three hold us on course in our faith. But the fourth one, nurturance, holds together and increases our community of faith, strengthens our community of faith, and brings us closer to God. And that's what Paul tells us. "I give thanks for you because you're closer to God." Why? Because of your unity, your community of faith. That's a message we all need to hear. When we go outside these doors, if we are alone and we are not in community, how scary is that? Add Caden. "Hey, do you feel safe out there by yourself?" "No." "What about together?" "Yeah, sure do." Paul tells us that we have strength when we are together, when we become one. There should be no differences in Christ. We are fellow believers. We are a community. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we try to do the Lone Ranger bit. We try to do it on our own. But we also know that when hard times happen, when we are in difficult spots, it is our community of faith, those that we are in community with, that come to our aid, who bring the gifts of life through nurturance. Continue to fill us with your Spirit that we may be good nurturers, that we may be the people that you have called us to be and your Son called us to be when he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's word is brought to you.